Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 285. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
Oh, it's going good. It's going good. I am missing the sunny Florida weather, but we did have 75 degree day here, so it felt like it. Just no live baseball to attend, but plenty of baseball to talk about. It's just crazy that we're halfway through spring training at this point. That's wild to think about. So I'm pretty pumped. The regular season's almost here. Minor league baseball is almost here. The spring breakout lineups were announced today, so that's a lot of fun too. So yeah, I'm excited to be back talking baseball.
What Florida did you go to? I don't remember a lot of sunshine while we were
down
there.
No, we did not have sunshine in Florida, actually.
It was a little bit. I'd say it was maybe like 20% sunshine. It was warm, so that was at least great, especially for me coming from Maine. It was a nice change of pace. But yeah, I was hoping for a little more sunshine. We did get a little bit during one of the games we went to, and then a little bit on the last day as well, but not a whole lot. But got a lot of baseball to talk about. A lot of topics to get through, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Now, we're doing an episode or a couple episodes now that we did last year, right around this time as well. We did a little bit later last year in the middle of March, but We're talking about our guys for 2024, just players that we think are going to maybe break out or just are undervalued that we're gonna have a lot of shares of, just for various reasons. These are our guys that we're just targeting a lot in our various leagues that we're in. We'll just do hitters this time at the MLB level. We'll probably do other episodes, do some pitching, some prospects, etc. So we've got a lot of more fun topics to go before we hit opening day here. But before we get into the episode, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg, I'm at EricCross04, shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us, all of our rankings, daily write-ups, a lot of great stuff on both of those platforms. And make sure to check out all the great stuff going on over at RotoBaller. If you want to succeed this fantasy season, there's no better place than RotoBaller. Top-notch content and tools to help you succeed and have some fun and win your leagues this year. Use that code TOOLSHED to get you 10% off any premium package you want over at rotoballer.com. All right, Chris, so we're going to go one per position here in the infield, two outfielders each, so that gives us a total of seven each, 14 players coming at you here over the next, you know, hour or so. Start with the backstops here. Chris, who you got?
All right, so Sean Murphy's a catcher that I've found myself targeting pretty often in drafts. Just I think the value is really good on him. In a DC or an FBC format that has two catcher spots in 15 teams, I think it's pretty valuable to get a top catcher. But I found if I miss the boat on these guys that I am grabbing Sean Murphy quite often. I feel like I've talked a lot about him this offseason, the tale of two halves that he had. He was so good in the first half of the season, arguably the best hitting catcher in baseball in the first half when he hit .306 with 17 homers in just 66 games. That was 270 plate appearances. So absolutely dominant performance there. He dealt with injury, had hamstring, he had a concussion. They said he didn't have a concussion. Like, he was certainly playing concussed on the stretch, at least it seemed by the performance. And in the second half, he hit just .159 with four homers and 168 plate appearances. But Sean Murphy is healthy. Actually, he's out right now with an illness. I think he had a stomach bug, but he's physically like healthy from a hamstring, whatever he was dealing with standpoint. I look at Murphy and I think that he's somebody that's easy to buy back into just based on the performance in the first half. And I know that Travis d'Arnaud looms, but it's like d'Arnaud can't stay healthy. He's older. The Braves gave Sean Murphy a big contract. I just don't see any reason that they don't give Murphy the majority of run here in this lineup. And he's going to get so many opportunities. He doesn't even need to be a star. If he literally just repeats what he did last year, he's going to be extremely valuable. He hit 21 homers last year in his 438 plate appearances and hit .251 with a .365 OBP. At his cost, he is going to return value if he does simply that. I think he maybe does even more than that. Sean Murphy, pretty easy buy for me in Dynasty League and a redraft league. The ADP is, I think, pretty good in a redraft league. If you're in a one catcher, like 12 team league, I basically just wouldn't take a catcher early and I would just get Sean Murphy. But in a two catcher league, he's a great target. I think he's somebody's going to potentially be a very good value and certainly beat his ADP.
Yeah, no, Murphy's a great one there. I like Murphy a lot too. Obviously one of the better catchers in baseball. And he might be the boring older veteran with a lot of these younger catchers that are up and coming right now, but still gets the job done and still has some pretty good metrics for sure. I'm going to go with one of the young guns, though, and a guy that's, you know, always been a favorite of ours. This is a pro Logan Ohapi podcast, no doubt. You know, Ohapi last year, he's been limited. He has some injuries, only limited to 199 plate appearances, but cranked 14 home runs in those 199 plate appearances last year. Only .236 average with a .296 OBP, but I'm not worried about that. We saw much better contact skills and OBP skills in the minor leagues. And even you look at a lot of the metrics last year, 81.1% zone contacts, right around league average, just a hair below. Overall contact was much lower than league average, did chase a little bit too much, but I'm expecting him to take a step forward there. Again, we saw better from him in those departments in the minor leagues. I think long-term, he's probably like a 260-ish hitter with a solid OBP and probably guys going to get you 25 home runs or so, maybe even flirt with some 30 homer seasons. And right now, whether it's redraft, dynasty, I think his perceived value is, you know, just outside a top 10 catcher. He's probably more like in that C12, 13 range overall for both formats. Again, redraft and dynasty. And I think he's going to take a step forward into that top 10 this year. And as long as he can stay healthy, you know, I think, again, you could be looking at 260 and 25 right away. And we'll see, again, if he can stay healthy. That's the big thing with him right now. But he's going to probably hit in a decent spot in the Angels lineup, probably like fifth or sixth or so. And he doesn't have Ohtani hitting in front of him. Still got some Trout, Drury, Taylor Ward. Still a solid lineup there. I think maybe you can get like 80 or so RBI out of him as well. And yeah, I think he's a jump into that, maybe not top five catcher, seventh, eighth, ninth, somewhere in that range, kind of like that second tier of catchers. So yeah, I like Poppy to take that step forward, and I'm trying to get him everywhere I can, both the redraft and dynasty right now. All right, Chris, who is your first baseman?
Yeah, first baseman's Rhys Hoskins, but I'll agree with you on Logan Ohapi. I really like what he brings to the table too. He would have been my other selection, if not for Sean Murphy. But let's move first base with Rhys Hoskins. Obviously, Hoskins had that fluky injury last year in spring training on a non-contact play. He missed the entire year, which really sucked. But Hoskins is one that now in Milwaukee, I think he's going to just be dominant. He hasn't had the best spring training performance yet, but he's had just 10 plate appearances, so whatever, who cares? We're talking about a guy that's averaged over 30 home runs in full season for his career, and his batting average has been pretty dang consistent at that. He's sitting like 247, 246 every year. It's literally Chris Davis with the K, who hit 247 for four straight years. Fun fact, if you did not know that. But Rhys Hoskins, the man just mashes. Really, for the most part, he stayed healthy most of his career. And I feel like we label him like injury prone, but I don't really think it is. He's had a couple fluky injuries, but that's really been it. But he's played four full seasons. He missed a little bit of time in 2021, and then he missed all of 2023. But otherwise, he's played. He's kept the strikeout rates in check. You know what you're getting out of Rhys Hoskins. And now he has got a chance to thrive in Milwaukee. And I think that 30 home runs is a lock for Rhys Hoskins. I think the price is very affordable. I'm actually shocked that his ADP did not move up boards as much as it did after he signed. He moved up a little bit, but not substantially to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't take this guy here. But the power is legit with Rhys. We know that. He's still just 30 years old. It feels like he's been around forever. But Rhys Hoskins, easy buy for me in redraft and even a good buy in dynasty if you're looking for a first baseman. So he's a guy I'm looking to take shots on pretty much anywhere. And I think he's going to have a big year this year.
Yeah, he's not forgotten about, but yeah, I think people in a way have forgotten just how good and how consistent he was during his time in Philly. That's what missing a year will do to you. He's on the wrong side of 30. That kind of loses the appeal a little bit in that first digit of your age is a 3 instead of a 2. Yeah, he's as solid as they come. And yeah, I like Hoskins a lot. I got a few shares of him in redraft already. It's a great corner infield target that you can get around pick 200 or wherever he's going. But yeah, good dynasty target as well. Contending team that probably won't cost you a whole lot to get a guy like Hoskins. So yeah, I'm definitely on board with that as well. I'm going to go with, there's a few guys I could have gone with here, but obviously we're trying not to go with like super elite names. So I'm not going to talk about Tristan Casas for the 438th time this offseason, but I'll go with another youngster in the National League and go Christian Encarnacion Strand. Also could have gone with NEP. I think Steer is still a bit undervalued, but I'll go with Encarnacion Strand here. I love Encarnacion Strand. The power is so good here with him. You know, last year in the majors, 10.5% barrel rate, 48.4% hard hit rate. This is kind of right in step with the power he showed coming up through the minor leagues. And you know, there are some questions about how playing time shakes out for a few of these guys. Obviously, there's still a lot of mouths to feed. That trade never happened that we thought would happen after they acquired Jaime Candelario. They're giving Encarnacion a little bit of time in the outfield. So I think he'll play close to every day between first base and maybe a little bit of time in corner outfield as well. And this is a guy that legit could hit 40 home runs this year. Like, the power's there. Add in the best hitter's park in all of baseball. And this guy's probably going to hit a solid average as well. I don't think he's going to be like a 230 hitter or anything like that. He was right around league average zone contact rate, a bit aggressive. You know, so OBP will probably be a little bit lower. So he's slightly dinged in that format. But, you know, solid enough contact rates that with his power, with the park he's in, giving him the BABIP boost, I think he can hit like 260 in that ballpark and 35 to 40 home runs right away and probably over 100 RBI. Good lineup around him there in Cincinnati. Obviously, especially if a lot of those young guys take a step forward, you get a full year, hopefully, fingers crossed, of McLean. He's already dealing with a little bit of an injury. You know, Ellie, obviously, all the talent in the world. You know, that lineup, it has a lot of fun players in it, and he should be driving in a lot of those guys frequently. So you could see 260, 35, 100 right now. And I think he's going to jump up into maybe not the top end of the second tier, but back end of the second tier. So he'll be like sixth, seventh ranked first baseman, something like that. So yeah, I really like Encarnacion trying to take a step forward this year and really have a big breakout. So I'm trying to get him everywhere I can before that price tag inevitably rises a good amount.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's go to the second baseman. Going pretty deep here, actually, with Brendan Lau, who I think, you know, people are really sleeping on Lau. And if I don't say forgot about him, he's going here pick 300, which is just really wild to look at and see from a 29-year-old who has shown ability to be a really good hitter. It's not that distant of a past where he hit 39 homers in 2021. I know the batting averages have not been great with Brendan Lau, but still, even last year, coming back from an injury, he hit 21 homers and he stole 7 bases. This is a guy who, if he plays and gets 550 plate appearances, which is pretty reasonable if he's healthy, could give you a 30 home run season and steal 7 to 10 backs. I think this is very realistic. He had a 117 WRC plus last year, so a very good season when he was healthy and on the field. I just look at this and I'm like a little surprised that he's going as low as he is. I don't know. I think that Brendan Lau still has a lot in the tank to offer, and I think he's just being massively undervalued here, and we know he's going to play. Like, he's going to play in this lineup. There's no questioning that. They've got him. They've already signed him to that long-term deal, which now is coming to an end, actually. They have a club option for 2025 and 2026, but ultimately, I think that this is a good bet, especially if you miss on second base and you didn't get a guy like early on. I look at Brendan Lau and say, like, all right, in a position that I feel like is pretty much a wasteland, and it feels like everybody's question mark, like post 200, I'll just wait and take my chance on Brendan Lau at like 270 ADP, which is just crazy to look at and see. So for me, it's a pretty easy buy, especially as a middle infielder. I think that's where he fits best. If you've missed the boat on second base, like, I think you can wait and get a Brendan Lau and be okay. And I think he's going to provide value, knowing that the batting average could be a little bit of a question mark.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with him in the average department. But a couple guys I could have gone with here at second base as well. I'm just went with a guy like Brendan Drury, who probably plays mostly DH this year, but still second base eligible. And I think people thought he fell off a lot last year, and he really didn't. I think he's going phenomenal value, and going way too late. So he's a good one. But I'm going to go with the forgotten youngster in Baltimore. Everyone's obviously Jackson Holliday. Colton Cowser's having a hot spring. And you get Kobe Mayo in the waiting in the wings. Sammy Basalo shooting up rankings. But Jordan Westbrook was considered by many to be at least like a top 50 fantasy prospect, and some rankings even had him top 25. And I was one of them. He probably peaked at like 21, 22 in my rankings because he was coming off you know, some pretty solid years in the minor leagues. Last year, before he got promoted, he was 18 home runs and 6 steals, hit .295 in 301 plate appearances for AAA Norfolk. Year before that, between AA and AAA, hit .265, 39 doubles, 27 home runs, 12 steals, had 106 RBI, 96 runs scored, just really good all-around season there. He's hitting okay so far this spring. He's 5-for-19, does have a home run, actually 3 extra base hits, double, triple, and home run so far. And then last year in the major leagues, yeah, he didn't set the world on fire, but he had 3 home runs, 4 steals, and 228 plate appearances, hit .260, so it wasn't terrible, but at the same time, he had a 90.2 average exit velocity, 44.5% hard hit rate, and an 80th percentile sprint speed. Probably going to play some third, but could move around a little bit. Maybe he's in more like a Chris Taylor type of role where he plays multiple infield positions, which might create some nice multi-position eligibility, which is always fun to have. But if he's getting 550, 600 plate appearances, you could see 20 home runs, 10 to 15 steals, something like that, with a decent average. And is he ever going to be a top 10 guy at whatever position? No. But could he be a solid corner infielder, middle infielder, a guy you throw in your utility slot, something like that? Absolutely. And I think he's just being slept on right now because the surface stats didn't wow anybody, and there's a lot sexier and buzzier names being discussed in this system right now. These are types of guys I love going after. Guys that are had pretty good prospect careers of their own, but you know, they weren't the Jordan in their system. They are more like the Pippen or the Rodman even in their own system, and they get undervalued because of that. I love to target these guys, and I think Westberg is a good one, and I'm getting him redraft dynasty. I have several dynasty shares, some of which I already had, others I've acquired this offseason because the price tag I think is very reasonable, and I think the upside's there to be a maybe not a top 100 player, but a top 150 player or something like that. So like Westy a lot.
As do I. I think that's a good pick. I think he's going to play every day and be a really solid contributor. He hit the ball really hard on Sunday when I was at that game. He had this line, screaming line drive at the third baseman that was in the third baseman's glove before he even got out of the batter's box.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember seeing you post that video. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nuts. Westberg does a lot of things well. So the pick there, I'll have a lot of shares too. Let's go over to the hot corner. Taking Matt Chapman, whose ADP is absurdly low. And when you look at Chapman, everybody thinks about his glove, which is true. He's a very good glove, but people forget that he's also a pretty solid bat, too. And prior to last year, he had back-to-back 27 home run seasons in 2021 and 2022. The batting averages have been suspect, but last year he did hit .240. He's going to play up in an OBP league. We know that. Walks at a high clip, had a .330 OBP last year, and he still managed 17 home runs. So you look at Chapman, he's in San Francisco, which I don't love. Like, it's not a great hitter's park by any means, but I do think Chapman returns to relevance. I think that he assumes one of the better hitters in this lineup now. While in Toronto, he was not, but now he gets to be the guy, I think, that kind of can just carry the load, can hit for power. And I feel like Chapman has another 25 home run season in the tank. And if he hits .240 with a .330 plus OBP, that's really respectable. And I think there's a lot of value to be had at that price tag because he literally cost you nothing. If you look at his value in Dynasty, it's super low. He's been going at pick .275 on NFBC drafts. That's crazy price tag. And I know there's other good targets at third base. Third base actually has some good depth to it, but Chapman, in my opinion, is a great target for that corner infield spot because I do think he provides some really good value there. I'm assuming his ADP probably moves up since the signing. I don't know how many completed drafts that we actually have so far. Like, he signed what, maybe last, he signed last Friday or Saturday. I was like riding up the elevator after the AL labor draft when it happened at like midnight. But I think that Chapman probably does see his ADP move up, but how much? At the end of the day, I do think he's still a really good value and one that I am excited to take.
San Fran is trying to break that to that. I forget who posted it up, but that they have the longest drought of not having a 30 homer season.
That's so wild.
dating back to, I believe it was Barry Bonds in 2004.
That's nuts.
They got Chapman, then they got Jorge Soler. So maybe they do break the curse this year. I don't know. That is a hard park, but yeah, Chapman's a super undervalued. And yeah, a guy that's a pretty good value. There's a lot of good values at the third base spot. And like you said, it's gotten really deep. You know, there was a few years where third base was pretty shallow, but I love a lot of these guys at third base. And I've already talked about other guys that I like a lot at this position. I've talked about Nolan Marte ad nauseum. I've talked to Brian Hayes ad nauseum. And a couple other guys too, but I'll go with my other favorite guy that I've been targeting a lot in redraft and dynasty right now. And that's Jake Bigger from the Miami Marlins. 27 years old, really didn't get his first extended crack at playing time until last year. It was two Achilles tears, if I recall. Was that correct?
Yeah, that's
it. Was two of them, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
I think he might have had like broken hand or something too. Maybe I'm imagining that, but it's been a long road for Jake Berger ever since he was an early round draft pick back in 2017. Was number 11 overall to the White Sox, but started breaking out with the White Sox and was traded down there to Miami. Overall, cranked 34 bombs and 540 plate appearances with really good quality of contact metrics, 16.7% barrel rate, 91.9 average exit velocity, at a max of 118.2. X slug was 512. Hard hit rate 49.6%. It's all in the top 10% of hitters last year. And yeah, power is what you're getting with Berger. You're not getting Berger expecting an high average. That's not who he is. He's a hitter on 250. That's where he was this past year. That's where he was in 183 plate appearances the year before that. Career, he's 251 through 765 plate appearances, because the contact skills aren't terrible, but they're below average. But with his power, 250, I think, is a fair expectation. And I think you could really see him continue the breakout from last year and maybe be a 40-homer guy. He's got the power. There's no doubt about it. He's going to play regularly. So if you're getting 250, 40-homer guy, he'll probably get you know, maybe even push 100 RBI. Last year, he had 80 with 71 runs scored. Maybe he goes up to near 80 runs, 90-plus RBI with 40, around 40 home runs, an average that you can live with. Yeah, I think that's got to be a guy that's way undervalued right now, a guy that's going to be probably a lot higher in next year's drafts if he's doing that. He's probably a top 100 pick next year's drafts. He could be infield version of – actually, no, Kyle Schwarber's a bad example, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's undervalued right now. Massive power bat, still only 27 years old. So I think Berger's just being too undervalued, even after what he did this past season. So he's my guy at third base. Let's run out the infield, Chris. Who you got at shortstop?
All right, so shortstop's interesting because it's a position that does bottom out pretty quick. Like we were talking, everybody thinks shortstop's deep. Shortstop is not deep at all. It's deep at the top.
Yeah, it's deep at the top. But then once you get past like the Bogart Swanson area, it's a lot of question marks for sure.
Yeah, and you can realistically, if you're in a 15-team league, you can get stuck with a pretty questionable shortstop if you miss the boat after Dansby Swanson, honestly. But that's why I like this guy here, and that's Tyro Estrada. Estrada, I've been vocal about him this offseason, buying back into what he did early on in the season last year before injury. Yeah, his ADP is a little higher than you might think, like going around like the 130 range. But yeah, I think it's justifiable given the hype and the potential what he could do, given that he was so good early on in the season. As I mentioned a lot, he really had a three-part season before his wrist injury in late May. 206 plate appearances. He was hitting 301, 345, 466 with six homers and 13 stolen bases. He came back after the wrist injury, but before he fractured his hand, he hit 216, 294, 371 across 109 plate appearances with three homers and five steals. And then after he returned from the fractured hand, Tyro Estrada hit 268, 298, 390 across 215 plate appearances with five homers and five stolen bases. So I do believe that Tyro Estrada could be in for a much bigger year in 2024. I realize I have Giants, infield Giants back to back now. So when you look at this profile, I do think it's an interesting power speed one. And like, if you miss on some of the early guys, I think he's probably not all that dissimilar to what Ha-Seong Kim might be. I know that might be very controversial to say. There's like a 50 ADP spot gap between those two. You get, I know Kim has middle and corner infield. He has third base. But Estrada can play second and short. Like, you have eligibility at both. I wouldn't be shocked if they end up pretty similar by the end of 2024. That's what I'm laying down. That's why I'm taking Tyro Estrada in drafts if I miss early. So he's my pick there at shortstop, knowing that he's also a second baseman, but he is shortstop eligible.
He sure is. I got him in the mixed league labor auction down in Florida. So, like, that's right. He's very undervalued because he doesn't wow anybody, but just solid player all around. I'm going to go with Ezekiel Tovar from the Rockies, who I think people probably considered his rookie year down or underperforming on the surface. It wasn't terrible. He got better as the year got on as well. Hit 253, 15 home runs, 11 steals, 79 runs and 73 RBI. Also had 37 doubles, right, which was among the league leaders there. But obviously the approach needs some refining. Only had 25 walks to 166 strikeouts. And he was never a big walk rate guy in the minor leagues. Never had the higher K rate to go along with it. So the K rate was a little bit higher than initially expected from him. But he's looked really good this spring. Like, he looks significantly stronger. He's added, I think it was like 15 pounds of bulk. And he's been one of the hotter hitters in all spring training so far. So, again, it's not a profile. It's going to wow you. He's never going to be a stud, never going to be a top 50 guy or anything like that. But if he takes a realistic step forward this year, we could be looking at, especially in Colorado, yeah, I could see like low 20s home runs, 21, 22 home runs. Last year, his quality of contact was fine. It was right around league average. Had 8% barrel rate, 88 mile an hour exit velo, 36% hard hit rate. All three of those are right around league average. Barrel rate's even a little bit better than league average. And if he's already been hitting the ball hard this spring, so maybe he's 21, 22 home runs. It gives you 12 to 15 steals with it. And I think we can see that average tick back up a little bit as well. 260, 270, and maybe 80-plus runs in RBI. So just a well-rounded profile can give you a little something everywhere. And given where his perceived value is right now, yeah, I think he's a solid value target in all formats, redraft and dynasty. So I don't have a lot of shares of Tovar right now, but I'm trying to change that. So, yeah, Tovar is my guy. And now we got two outfielders each. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, Tovar's a good one. He looks like he's bulked up a lot, and the results have showed. This spring, I am going with Teoscar Hernandez for my first one, who I still think is just being slept on. I understand if you're in an OBP league, he's not the play there. Plays down significantly in an OBP format. This is a guy over the last three seasons that has averaged near 30 home runs a season. In 2021, he had 32, 25, and 26 the last 2 years. He's hit 273 over those three seasons combined, and he's even chipped in a few steals. Now Teoscar finds himself in the arguably one of the best lineups in baseball. Still think the Braves are right there with the Dodgers, but one of the, if not the best lineup in baseball that Teoscar is now hitting in. I do think he goes to a better ballpark than he was at in Seattle. And I think the power comes back. I think he hits 30 home runs this year. I wouldn't even be shocked if he has a career high and smashes those 32 that he hit in 2021. He's going to be poised to drive in a lot of runs in this lineup. He even is going to score a lot of runs too. And while the strikeouts are a bit concerning, I just really believe Hernandez is going to thrive in LA with a team that is contending, team that will make a run at the World Series. And I firmly believe that he's a 30 home run bat, that he could drive in 100 pretty easily, that he could score 80 plus, and even potentially steal 7 to 10 bags. I don't think that's off the table at all. So Teoscar, I still think, is being undervalued, especially in Dynasty, because as Eric said, he has that 3 at the start of his name, which I'm about to have in a day as you're listening to this. I'll be 30 on Saturday. So I'm going over the hill for Dynasty Age. But Teoscar, he is still somebody to buy into. I think if you're looking for an outfield with power, he's a great play.
Oh, don't use that term. I'm 33. I'll be 34 in July. Let's not. But yeah. But once you hit 30, it's all downhill from there. Not to be all like negative here, but I feel like physical peak is like 30 for people. But yeah, I like Teoscar a lot too. Obviously, getting into that lineup. I thought he was coming to Boston at first, but obviously not. And lands in the loaded Dodgers lineup. Solid pick there. I'm going with a guy slightly younger, about to be 30 as well, but I'm going with Seiya Suzuki from the Chicago Cubs. Last year, got off to a bit of a, not a cold start, but an underwhelming first half of the year. Get pre-All-Star break, 259, 342, 405 slash line in 298 plate appearances, but after the All-Star break in 285 plate appearances, 313, 372, 566, 13 home runs, even added five steals. And the metrics here are all really good across the board. I just look at all of his sliders. They're all in the 75th percentile or higher for the most part. Barrel rate, 10.5%, 91.4 average exit velocity, 48% hard hit rate, above average across the board there. Solid approach to the plate too, 22% K rate, 10% walk rate. Contact skills are all slightly above average as well, but a 79% overall contact, 84% zone. Doesn't chase much, doesn't whiff much. So really just good across the board. Not a guy that's going to wow you, not going to hit 35 home runs, steal your 20 bags, but this is a guy that if we get second half Suzuki over full year, you're talking about maybe a guy that's flirting with 30 home runs, hitting you 280 or above, maybe even 10 steals, or he's giving you 9 and 6 his first 2 years. He gives you a little bit of speed there. Pretty good Cubs lineup, especially with Bellinger back in the mix there. So I think it's going to be, you know, maybe a back-end top 10 overall lineup. So that's some good bats throughout there. So a good amount of runs and RBI. And you know, he's a guy that's, I think, right around the top 100, both in redraft and dynasty right now in terms of perceived value. But I think you can see him take that step forward, be like a top 60, 70 guy this year and kind of leapfrog several guys at this outfield position. So I like Suzuki a lot. Great value buy right now. And I've already acquired a share or two this offseason. Got a couple of shares in redraft as well. Just trying to get as many as I can because I think that that first real pretty, you know, big season from him is coming this year. So Suzuki for me, we have one more outfielder to reach, Chris. Who you closing out your show with?
All right. So I've stuck with the theme. I had two Giants and now I have two Dodgers. It's James Outman, who we've waxed poetically about on the show over and over. But the cost is just too good here for somebody that could go 30, 15 at minimum. When you look at Outman, he did it all last year, and he continued to fly under the radar. I think the ADP is still a little low on him, like going around like pick 181, which is wild. I assume that's got to be higher in some formats, and I'm going to check and see like over the last month where he's going, because that just seems like an absurdly good value, and I would literally draft him in every draft there. But he's even worse in DCs over the last month, 196. Wow. I don't know what we're doing here. This is a crazy good value for somebody that went 23-16 last year and 567 plate appearances. I think that 30-20 could be in order. And even if it comes with a 250 average, I will gladly take that in that lineup at that cost. In an OBP league, he plays even better because he takes walks at a high clip. And it just feels like to me that he's still being slept on massively. And for somebody with that power speed skill set, why is he not going higher? Even if he doesn't, I don't care. Like, I'll continue to take the value all day long on James Outman, who I want on nearly every team.
Yeah, me too. I have no idea why he's going that low. And my guy, the round up the show here, is going in the very similar ADP range, close to 200. Not quite as sexy as Outman and a little bit older, but he's a guy where I was digging into some outfield ADPs about a month or so ago, and I came across his name, and said, man, that seems low. And I was looking at the profile, what he done the last couple of years, and I was like, yeah, that's way too low. And I'm talking about Brendan Nimmo from the New York Mets. He's not flashy whatsoever, but this is what Nimmo's done the last 2 years. He's averaged, what was it, 95 and a half runs. He's averaged 20 home runs, right around 160 hits. He had 274 each of the last 2 years, and OBP 363 and 367 the last few years. Like, this is a guy, he's obviously a leadoff for the Mets, hitting in front of Pete Alonso and company. And he had the best quality of contact season he's had in his career. And this is going to be last year, was it year eight for him? And he's 30 years old, but had a 9.5% barrel rate, 91.8 average exit velocity, and a 47.9% hard hit rate. Those are all career highs across the board there. He's always walked a good amount. He's been above 10% each of the last 7 years. K rate, he's been below 22% each of the last 4 years. Just really solid. And I was wondering, like, why is there a roughly 120 or so pick gap in average ADP between him and, like, a Brian Reynolds? Yeah, I would take Reynolds, but not by that much. So I'd rather get Nimmo, who I think could be 90% of Reynolds this year. Look at what he did last year. He was just as good as Reynolds. You can get him a bunch of rounds later and for a much more reasonable and low price tag in Dynasty. It's just really good. Good leadoff hitter, gets on base, scores runs, give you a little bit of pop. Doesn't give you much speed, but he gives you at least a few every year and hits you a solid average. And obviously in OBP formats, he gets a bump there. He's probably a top 125 guy in OBP, maybe even higher than that. Yes, yeah, so he's very undervalued, and I'm not sure why he's going that late. Him and Outman shouldn't be going as late as they are. And obviously, Outman's dynasty ADP or dynasty price tag is a little bit higher because he's younger and on the Dodgers. But yeah, I think these are all great values here in the outfield. But that is going to wrap us up with our guys for 2024 MLB hitter version. Again, we'll have a couple more episodes of this in some way, shape, or form, probably pitchers and prospects or something like that. But thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow all the work we're doing over on our personal platforms and over at RotoBaller. That code, Toolshed, 10% off. Don't forget that. And we will see you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.